mail call.
It's a Mailbag Monday with a Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
Yeah, the staggered lead play is crazy. It was in the playoffs in 87 against the against John Elway in the Denver Broncos. And they threw a lateral into the end zone. They got fumbled, and then they were able to recover and picked it up at the one. And they had a one play.
The Oilers?
Oilers, yeah. Oilers against the Broncos in the 87 playoffs. They threw a lateral staggered lead, dropped it, fumbled it out to the one. Denver had a one-yard touchdown drive.
Not good.
That's pretty bad. That's worse than anything Titus Howard did yesterday.
Yeah, that would have made my list that I mean, I was four at the time. But
I was two. I was younger than you.
I was humble brag.
Actually, I was probably one. I was probably one because I turned two later.
Oh, okay. You're right. I would have been three then. Yeah. Still 2 year gap, but yeah.
We mentioned the J.R. Smith in the finals for LeBron.
It gave us a classic LeBron meme where he's got his arms out.
Yeah. Thought so the game was tied. And then you mentioned the Nick Young Lakers shoot the three, turn around, and act like
he's
it went in, and then you missed.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN, Mailbag Monday. What are your questions for the Bees? 713-780-3776. Key from L.A., who got the best breakfast in Houston? Ooh. I mean, Denny's. Set the bar high.
Buffalo Grill.
Buffalo Grill. I've never had Buffalo Grill. I've done Breakfast Club. Breakfast Club is really good.
Yeah, my first vote would be Breakfast Club. Their chicken and waffles is amazing.
Black Walnuts. I like Black Walnut. Their big breakfast is fantastic.
Yeah, the Buffalo Grill pancakes are like massive. Mm-hmm. And
it does sound good.
It's old school breakfast done the right way.
If you do the Black Walnut, you can do it at the Conroe Regional Airport, and you can watch planes kind of take off and land. It's not a bad way to spend a little
Black Walnut
weekday afternoon. Yeah, they have some good breakfast there. We're missing some.
I throw in, this is more of a region or an area thing, but I throw in Tita's Taco House in Humble. Yeah, their breakfast tacos are amazing.
They are amazing. They have really good tacos.
Is it 59 Diner?
59 Diner's overrated.
I don't think I've been there. You talking about Dot's Diner on the highway?
No, there's one off of Kirby and I want to say Westheimer. There's one on 59 out in Sugarland.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, not sure.
One of the. It's a diner. It's literally called a diner, but it's that old school breakfast.
Yeah. 8664. What part of your daily routine would you be better off without? It's Ocho.
What is that? Getting up. I could be better without waking up at 5:45 to 6 o'clock in the morning walking my dogs.
I'd be better off without eating the diet that I eat. That's part of my daily routine. I'll go with that.
Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. It's hard for me to come up with something better than that.
723.
The troll in me wants to say this show, but...
Hey.
I said the troll in me, but I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it.
Without our producer. Exactly. Does the Texans' offense consistently stalling in the second half fall more on slow play calling or player execution? That's a good question. I might save that for a segment, actually.
Is that a combo platter?
It's definitely a portion of both.
We'll discuss that one later. That's a good one. Good topic there, Texter. JC, assuming money isn't an issue, what are two things you would want your forever home to have? 100,000 square feet.
Okay, let's throw out like the size of the house because that's the obvious one. A slide.
Slide?
Yeah, from between floors. Yeah, it'd be fun.
A slide?
Yeah, why not?
That's a weird answer.
I know it's weird, but why not? It's fun. I've never seen it, but because they live in Michigan, and I'm not going up that far north.
I think a lot of people would say pool here. I'm not going to.
I'd say golf simulator.
That's a good call.
Oh, that's a good one. Basketball court outside?
Maybe.
A putt-putt course outside?
That sounds
fun.
Or
a putting green, yeah.
You know what? I low-key, a sauna. A sauna. Sauna's great for your health. Terrific for your health.
I can't do it.
Here's another one. For my forever home and money isn't an issue, give me a chef.
Oh, that would... Now your diet is solved because you say, I want to eat healthy, but I want it to taste good.
Plus, I'm not having to waste time cooking, which is probably the reason that I eat out more than I cook at home. I can, chef, cook me up healthy options that taste good. There you go. Chef is the easy answer.
That's a good one.
Easy answer.
Oh, Avalon Diner was the one I was thinking of for breakfast.
Oh, yeah, Avalon Diner.
Avalon Diner's pretty good.
I'm missing a ton of other ones. I'm not a huge breakfast person, though. 1970, shoes on or off in the house?
Off.
Off.
Everything off. What are you talking about?
Jeez.
Why are you walking around your house dressed for the day?
I understand if you're a guest, obviously, and you don't want to be presumptive and take off your shoes. unless someone asks you to. But like, if you're in your house, like on a weekend, just chilling and watching TV, why in the world would you have your shoes on?
Oh, yeah. This is a battle between Lisa and I. Lisa has the flippers that anywhere in the house.
She wears them?
She wears them.
Really?
I'm a sock killer because I will wear socks outside to take the trash cans out. I'm barefoot. I try to get the white socks with the gray or black colored
socks.
They don't show that I wear my socks outside all the time.
Yeah, I'm barefoot at all times. 2484, how would y'all feel about our O-line being Tunsil, Howard, Pat Green, Fisher? A text came on us, wave on wave. I think you got to go Titus at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to change Titus for the rest of the season unless he gets hurt. I think that he's done after this season.
Yeah, I kind of do too. 50-30, best restaurant for a steak with ketchup?
None.
Yeah, none.
Leave the restaurant?
This is Joel saying none.
There's a lot of good steakhouses in Houston. I would be remiss to answer this question because I would be remiss to leave off a bunch of them.
There's one you should probably say, though.
What?
Vic and Anthony's.
Why should I probably say Vic and Anthony's?
That's Tillman's.
Are they a sponsor on this show?
No, but it's Tillman's.
Well, when they're a sponsor on the show, make sure to say Vic and Anthony.
Killen's Steakhouse in Pearland is pretty good.
Killen's is solid.
I mean, Killen's does almost everything well, but...
Killen's is solid. Josh from Seabrook, Mailbag Monday. If you're ever in Seabrook, try the Pelican Grill. It's not a question. I usually go for the driller plate. Careful there. Two eggs, two bacon strips, two sausage links, your choice of toast or biscuit. I usually go for a sourdough toast. My go-to are the home fries. Thank you, Josh, from Seabrook, for your order there.
He's got his full menu items, yeah. Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
4488, college basketball crazy now. Y'all's thoughts on A.J. Store, the transfer to Wisconsin from St. John's and transferred again this year to Kansas?
He goes where the money is and the opportunity to win. It wasn't at Wisconsin. Wisconsin's basketball program's a joke, and he made the right move to leave, much as I hate to see him go.
How are his minutes there early for Kansas?
I haven't seen anything for this year for Kansas. I just know that they made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
Played 27 minutes against North Carolina. That's a good run there. That was a good win for Kansas. They're up 20 in that game. North Carolina rallied back, took a late lead. It was a fun game. Fun game at Toyota Center the other day, too. Auburn tipped the cap.
They say the freshman from Auburn's pretty good.
Oh, he had a good game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was really good.
He wasn't one of the guys fighting each other on the plane, was he?
He wouldn't have been there. No, he wouldn't have been there if he had. The two that were fighting were not there. Yeah, but Auburn's good. Auburn's really good. That was a good game.
They moved to the top five with that one.
Yeah, that was a good game. 9392, Mexican food for breakfast, lunch, or dinner?
Dinner.
Yes.
I mean, all, but yes. I would say actually lunch, but all.
You give me a little barbacoa for breakfast? What would I have for lunch? Might take it easy and just have some fajita nachos for lunch.
Yeah.
You know, eat light.
Taking it real light and easy.
Take it light, just have some fajita nachos for lunch and then for dinner.
The ability to do anything out of the equation, after dinner. That's why I said dinner, because I'm going to do it big and then I'm going to probably go to bed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. But yeah, I'd go beef fajitas for dinner. Like I'm pretty plain when it comes to my Mexican food. I just like good beef fajitas.
I did chicken fajitas Saturday night with all the fixings and everything like that. Was happy as could be. Went home, shut her down. That's it.
Branham, why are you dressed like Al Borland? # tool time. Because I dress how I dang well please. And I work in radio, so I can dress however I want. Why do you think I got in the business?
To dress like Al Borland.
Exactly. DJ said Friday that the Texans will lose Sunday, then win four in a row, and all will be well in Texans world. Do you believe that? Will it be?
Stay tuned.
Do you believe that they'll win four in a row?
I think he said three in a row.
No, he said four.
Well, the reason I remember three in a row, because they have three games going to the bye, and it's Cowboys, Jags, Titans.
Now, I'll debunk your theory by saying that the way he did the math was, and that'll still put them at 10-4, and that's exactly where I said that they would be.
I thought he said 9-4. I do think they...
I love y'all's conviction.
I feel 80% on this.
I feel stronger than that.
What is your percentage? What is your level of conviction?
I feel 95%.
I will go find it in the break then, but I do think there is an element of they take care of business against the Cowboys, Jags, and Titans. They end up 9-4 going into the bye. I don't say everything's forgotten, but I think we're feel all right.
Because I think he wrote off the fact that the Dolphins were going to be any good, and so he thought that it was going to be going into
the
bye.
He had them winning the first game out of the bye. I thought he was just talking about going into the bye. Okay.
We shall see.
1509, any chance that the Texans can bring in Kubiak or another proven offensive coordinator guy?
I don't think D'Amico's going to rock the boat this stage of the season.
Maybe Clint Kubiak next year.
Next year, yes.
Yeah. Look, this happens all the time. Like, teams do this a lot. Teams will bring in outside counseling to, you know, shake things up or just to overlook things. Yeah, it happens all the time. I wouldn't hate if they did it. I mean, why not? Like, you get more eyes on things, more resources. I don't know if Kubiak would be open to it, but yeah, I would be. I'd be okay with a new set of eyes. Not even call plays. Just, you know, somebody in the room. Advisor.
A lot of times, like with the Salah situation, as long as he's not the head coach, he gets all the money from the Jets, and he wants to stay involved and busy in football, so he gets to be a consultant and get extra money.
Yeah.
I think it works for both the guy and the team.
I think it makes a lot of sense. All right, that's it for Mailbag Monday. 713-780-ESPN. Let's grade C.J. Stroud. What did you think of C.J. Stroud's performance yesterday? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Gus, before we go to the break, a word from our good friend Doc Linville. He's right here in the medical center, and he has the answers. If you have questions about losing your hair, he can get your hair back. It's your own hair, and he can take care of everything right here in Houston. You don't have to worry about all these commercials you see on late-night television and on the internet trying to get you to spend your money and go to, regardless of where it is, somewhere else in the country to try and see if they have solutions for your hair loss. Doc Lindell handles it all right here in Houston. He's a big supporter of ESPN 97.5. And when we've sat down and talked to him on multiple occasions and had dinner and we're just, you know, kind of chewing the fat, he would say, I'm not trying to make a ton of money off of this. I want people in Houston to know I can actually get the results. I can get your hair back. I can get your hairline back. I can get the spot filled on the top of your head because of the fact that the system that we use works. It's called the Neograft procedure. And the Neograft procedure, simply put, is taking hair from places on your head that you're never going to lose it. No matter how bald you go in other spots, you never lose the hair on the sides and the back of your head. I didn't know that till he told me. But then he said, hey, it's kind of like in lawn terms. I can resod the lawn where you need it by using some of the hair where it's never going to go away. And it works. And it grows in the same direction. And it's the same color because it's your hair. And because I'm taking it from a spot where it's never going to leave, it's going to be with you for the rest of your life. He goes, it's phenomenal. And then as part of that process, and also possibly if you have hairs on your head, but they're just not as thick and strong as they used to be, PRP treatments work. We've heard about PRP treatments from all the different athletes that use it for their shoulders and their knees and different joints on their body. It also works with hair. And the PRP treatments actually get the blood stimulated so that the hair actually gets stronger and longer and is more like it was when it was at its best instead of kind of fading the way it looks now. He does all these things for you, and you can get a free consultation with Doc and his staff to explain everything to you and see if it's something you might consider just by going to 975hair.com. People off the street pay $150 just for the consultation. You don't pay a thing. It's absolutely free because you're listening to me and you want to talk to him. Just go to 975hair.com, set up a free consultation. Go in, ask questions, get answers. Have them explain everything with PRP and the Neograft and see if it might be something you'd consider doing. If you do, you're going to be thankful you did. I did it, could not be happier with it. And if you don't, nothing lost, nothing out of pocket, no signing on the dotted line, no commitment, just you getting a question and answer session about one of the top of the line best solutions to hair loss. Check them out today. Go to 975hair.com, set up an appointment, and tell Doc Linville I sent you by.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, Brown, end zone, under Brown, and intercepted, Carlton.
It seems like it's different every week. You know, I feel like this game was on me, you know, definitely. Got to make plays, got to make throws. Can't turn the ball over and when we're in scoring position. So, yeah, I blame this on me. You know, I got to be better.
Stroud said he has to be better. 19 for 33, 232 yards, a touchdown, a couple of picks, sacked four times. What did you think of Stroud's performance yesterday?
Tough one for me because I kept watching the game thinking if they win it, you know, what the grade would be. And then when they lost it, it was C-. To me, it was just that the two picks in the second half were so costly and kind of got the momentum back for the Lions. You know, there were some good throws for sure, but there just wasn't enough good all around for me to not be as honest as I can be. I'll say C minus.
Yeah, this was a weird game because he was good in the first half. Like, he was really good. He was making some pretty high level throws. I thought the ball that he threw to Mechie over the middle, in between the zone and tight window throw, really nice throw. You look at the final drive that he had where he threw Mechie a touchdown later, a really good throw. I thought he played really well in the first half, and he had some time and he had a clean pocket, which is vital for any quarterback.
Even the Stover, did you see the Stover on the out? He hit him right between the numbers and he dropped it. There were a couple drops he had.
I really
only
remember one. Like, I saw a bunch of people talking about drops, and I really, like, one that was easy. Like, there was one where Robert Woods could have made a really good play in the end zone, like, hit him in the hands, make that play.
Yeah.
I remember the Stover one.
Yeah, the Stover one for sure sticks out, and I want to say there was at least one on the left side, either on the sideline or kind of the middle to the out, where someone dropped a ball. That
Tank dropped one that I thought he should have made, but they ended up scoring anyways.
Did Schultz drop one?
I don't remember Schultz dropping any.
I'd have to go back and look at it again, but I thought there were two that stuck out to me where guys actually didn't do him a solid and could have caught balls that were there.
So I thought that he played really good in the first half, but I thought he was, I think he choked in the second half. I thought he was atrocious in the second half. What, choked? That's a big word. He had Tank Dell wide open in the corner. Wide open. And he saw him late. Okay, see him late. But still, you make a halfway decent throw, that's an easy touchdown, and the Texans win the game. The Texans easily win the game from that point. His last throw of the first half and his first throw of the second half, those had to be two different guys. Those had to be two different people. Because he threw the touchdown to Mechie, and the very first pass he threw in the third quarter, trying to find Tank Dell, and he just throws it right to the defender. Here's what he said afterwards about what he saw on that interception. Here's C.J. Stroud on the first interception that he had.
Yeah, I just didn't see the coverage. He did a good job. I had the cover two and just left it inside. Can't do that.
Didn't see the coverage.
Play on the ball, so yeah, it's my fault.
Didn't see the coverage.
I saw Davis pretty clearly on the inside of that one, but yeah, I mean,
missed him.
Yeah, and he jumped it. I mean, I know maybe you didn't see him start the jump to move in front, but boy, oh boy, yeah, he threw it right to him.
And even if he doesn't see the coverage there, an accurate throw doesn't get picked.
Yeah, if he throws it to the
inside of Tank, and if he throws it to the outside of Tank, he doesn't get there. I thought he was really bad in the second half. I thought he choked a bit in the second half. The failed touchdown to Tank Dell was a problem. And look, you could say, well, he was really good in the first half. He was really bad in the second half. You average it out, you come away with, like, you know, a C-plus or whatever. The problem, though, is the second half matters way more than the first half. Like, you win and lose games in the second half. It's kind of like, you know, taking a course. Who cares about the pop quiz whenever the final is worth 90% of your grade? You could ace the pop quiz and then bomb the final, and then you're going to fail the class. So I give C.J. Stroud an F. I thought that the second half performance was one of the worst he's played this year. Missed a lot of targets. The offense couldn't find any sort of rhythm in the second half. And you can blame a variety of things. Well, slow play calling. Well, the running game didn't get going. Well, the offensive line still allowed a ton of pressure to Stroud. He could never get comfortable. I thought C.J. Stroud was very poor. I thought he threw a lot of near interceptions, too. I thought he was poor in the second half. Because the second half matters more than the first half, he gets an F for me.
Wow, that's pretty severe.
They blew a 16-point lead.
The throw, you're right, though. The one that it was bad in real time, but the throw to Tank for the easy touchdown, if he just doesn't put any air, the amount of air he puts under it and just puts any kind of zip on it at all, it doesn't have to be a laser, but just kind of puts it more on a line, he's got a 30-yard cushion, and Davis just made up all that ground because that ball was up in the air seemingly forever, and it was like, what are you doing there? It's the NFL. I mean, you don't have many opportunities to put a ball like that on a receiver that has no one around him, but you just can't give the defense time to recover, and that was awful.
Yeah, there's a couple of plays, too, where it's hard to see on the TV copy where it's like, I think he had some guys there and just, like, missed it. So I'm eager to see, because there was one where he had Dalton Schultz that it looked like he was open on the TV copy, but sometimes they aren't whenever you can see the all-22. But I'm eager to see what he was looking at in the second half, because that was a bad half of football.
I think Hutch was the guy that dropped one.
No, it was a white guy.
No, I'm saying.
Oh, he dropped one.
The other one. Besides the one that hit Stover in the numbers, I thought Hutchinson might have dropped one that he put on him.
I don't remember that one. Hutchinson, of course, had that big, picked up the PI. Yeah. Probably should have picked up another, too. That would have been really nice. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. 0891 says Stroud, first half A, second half an F. So what's the average there? 0979 says he didn't blow the lead. No, he just didn't score any points in the second half, and he threw three interceptions, and he cost him an opportunity, cost him 7 points because he missed a wide-open touchdown and threw an interception. Clown. So there is that.
It was just so disappointing because of the fact that, and, you know, everybody's, oh, and they're making a big deal of it on TV. And we, the Campbell interview was pre-taped, and they were just running it at the absolute right time. But, yeah, it was ironic that it happened like that. But you got to know coming out of the break, too, that they're going to be looking to try and make up ground, and they're going to try and jump on you, you know, to try and to change the momentum. But, yeah, I mean, he just gifted them that first one. And
I mean,
then
they didn't do anything special, though. Like, they were sitting in a zone, and he didn't see it. Like, it's not like they had this exotic blitz or this exotic scheme. Like, it wasn't this, like, we're going to force the issue.
Davis was staring right at him.
Yeah, it wasn't like this. Yep. Like,
and there was no one behind him.
No, CJ, to me, it looked like CJ predetermined his throw.
Oh, no doubt.
Yeah, from the pre-look, from either the play that was called or the look he got before the snap, he predetermined his throw. I mean, Davis was staring right at him. Any throw that was lazy to the flat there, he was going to easily pick. It was a terrible decision and a bad throw.
I mean, they go through their progressions, right? Like, they have their number one option, and then they go the progressions if the one option's not open. They go to their two. They go to their three. It's very clear that that was his one option. And it's like, that's the one spot you need to be looking to see if you need to get off your number one target. And he, I mean, he flat out said it in the post game. He's like, I didn't see him. I don't know how. I don't know how he missed him, but just locked in on Tank and easy interception. And then the second one was just as bad, just in a different way.
Yeah, he was late. He obviously put too much loft on it. It was a bad throw all
And there's
around.
A lot of folks, too, that are like, well, you know, that interception didn't come back to haunt him because the Texans got that interception right after that. Okay, but the Texans also went 3 and out, had to punt, gave up a short field, and then the Lions scored like a 3-4 play drive.
Yeah, how much you lose by?
So the chain of events still impacted the Lions getting that first touchdown in the second half.
No doubt. I mean, because you have to assume, I forget the exact yardage line they're on, but with the way Fairbairn played, I'm pretty sure the field goal from that spot was under 50. So if you're assuming 3 points
I'm talking about the first one.
The first one. Okay, my fault. I was talking about the second interception because even if they stopped the Lions on the possession following the second one where he threw late to the end zone, I mean, you still took 3 points off the board at least for yourself, so you can't say that didn't factor in.
No, remember, because Stroud threw the interception on the first play of the third quarter.
And then
Goff threw
the
interception
right
to Lassiter, but it pinned the Texans at the 1 yard line.
Right,
and they went 3 and out, punted, Lions short field, and then the Lions had a 3-play touchdown drive. So, yes, they didn't score on the immediate aftermath of the interception, but the chain of events directly led to a Detroit Lions touchdown.
It led to the field position that gave them an easy touchdown. Yeah.
Absolutely. So that was costly. What was your grade for Stroud? I give him an F. Blankers gave him a C-.
C- feels right. When you grade the aggregate, I agree with the texter that said A for the first half, F for the second half. So I think on the aggregate, I would put it at about a C-. He missed a few throws. I thought as good as he was, and Collinsworth was pointing this out in the first half, for as good as he was in the first half with feeling the pressure, stepping up, still making the play, it seemed like he reverted a little bit in the second half to where he was running out a little bit before he should. He felt like he was uneasy in the pocket and missed some plays that should have been there that should have been easy. So, and plus you throw the picks on top of that. I would have given him F for the second half, but over the full game, C-.
So you think the first half and the second half should be weighed equally? If you're giving it an aggregate grade, you're saying the first half and the second half are equal.
I do, yeah, because if you run out to his, I mean, I know you could, I know, because I heard you say it earlier in the segment, the second half means more, but if you run out to such a big lead, I mean, at some point, the second half doesn't matter. So, I do grade them the same.
So, if a guy has a game-winning drive, you're going to be like, oh, that's the same as a game-winning drive at the end of the first half.
Fair point. But, I mean, again, if what you do in the first half makes the second half, to a degree, less meaningful.
Yeah, I mean, I don't.
If you fall way behind or if you get way up.
You can't put the game out of reach.
Yeah, exactly.
Like we thought they did.
Yeah, if you want to knock Stroud, obviously you could argue we should not knock his grade for the first half because they had to settle for field goals on what, 3 of their 5 scoring drives.
Yeah, you could.
One of them was a hold, the hold killed him.
True. I'm just saying like that. If they don't have to settle for field goals, the game's over.
3691, not converting the 5 interceptions into points is just sad. Now, let's define points there, because the Texans did turn interceptions into points. First interception Goff threw turned into a touchdown. The second interception he threw turned into a field goal. The third interception he threw was the end of the half.
Yeah.
So, like, you can't convert points there.
You can't kill him for that.
The fourth interception he threw was a punt, and then the fifth interception he threw was a punt. So, it's kind of the difference of the first and the second half. First half, you did convert them into points. Second half, you did not. So let's tell the whole story here a little bit. 8807, how's the first half in A? That lead came from the defense, says the
but
the
they
texter.
Capitalized once.
I mean,
they
that
got
throw
the
to
ball.
Mechie was amazing.
Yeah, it was a great throw. The one for the touchdown.
Yeah, right at the end of the half.
Yep.
Yeah.
I agree. And there were several others that were good. I mean, even Collinsworth was amazed on the one in the scramble drill when he rolled out and kind of bought time and then found Dalton Schultz in the middle of the field.
Yeah, Collinsworth kind of makes stuff up, though.
But I'm saying, I mean,
there was a Jalen Petrie tackle where it's like, I think Jalen Petrie might be a little bit better as a tackler than in coverage, just slightly, like hedging what he's saying. No, Collinsworth, he's way better as a tackler than he is in
then
coverage.
Then later, he was roping in the best safeties in football and the guys, I mean, best nickels in football that should be highly paid and whatever, and threw Petrie in the mix.
Yeah,
I was like,
pad your
stats, Chris. He can tackle really well and he's great in rushing the quarterback, getting the back behind the line of scrimmage. Don't watch him in coverage too much.
He just kind of makes things up. And he was talking about the Texans' game plan against Goff. He's like, yeah, they wanted to keep him in the pocket and not let him scramble.
Okay, yeah, that was weird.
Who are you thinking you're talking about? When did Jared Goff turn into Lamar Jackson?
The only thing I could think he was trying to say and said it poorly was the play-action bootlegs out on the – because obviously those play-action bootlegs, he is technically outside the pocket by the time he makes his throw. I guess he could have been talking about that, but it did come off pretty weirdly.
I think he just makes things up.
He's a statue, and you want to be able to put pressure on him because he can't get away.
he's an odd
but
dog,
the
man.
Throw to Schultz, though – because he was like back foot and everything. But literally, when you go back and look at it the second time, he didn't even wind up, and he threw it on a clothesline where he just kind of, boom, and it
got another. And there was another play, I believe it was also first half, where and Collinsworth pointed out where Stroud faced pressure. He climbed up to the pocket, got right to the line of scrimmage, and like held a linebacker's gaze that was right in front of him so that he held gaze.
Was he trying to get a date?
When did this turn into a rom-com?
Oh, come on. But anyway, he used his eyes to keep the linebacker from drifting over to Mechie, and then at the very last second turned his head and tossed it to Mechie.
To dinner in a movie.
I think that was the 3rd and 15.
It was third and long. I don't remember the yardage.
he lost his emotions in his eyes as they locked it from 15
he
yards
wanted
away
to hide his
the
lust.
Of
Stroud wanted to hide his lust of getting it to Mechie.
Turned into dinner in a movie and now a long-standing relationship.
I didn't realize the use of the word gaze was going to be so controversial.
It's a love word. Alex says need more than one touchdown off the picks. That's true. That is true. They did score off the picks, but they do need more than one touchdown off the picks. All right, the power of positivity. Killer Bees are always positive, never angry. We're always very, very happy. So what were some of the good things that happened in this game yesterday? Look, the Texans were up by 16 at the half. They covered the spread. Great teams cover. Or some of the positive things that happened yesterday. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Very aware of situational ball in these spots.
We're very positive. We believe in the power of positivity.
Yeah, Sean Mays.
What did he say?
Today he was talking about the fact that being critical of the Texans. And he's like, I mean, it's not like the Killer Bees. I mean, we'll talk about both sides of it. But then we'll turn it over to the Killer Bees and it'll be 3 hours of straight negativity.
I feel like Paul's the most negative person ever.
Shocker.
He's grumpy about everything.
It's a Killer Bee thing.
Isn't he grumpy about everything?
I'm not detecting a lie.
Yeah, I feel like he's grumpier than
Paul is pretty angry. I like Paul, but he's pretty angry.
I'm moody.
How many days when we come in here are we looking at him to throw something or storm out because something ticked him off?
At the old radio station, he broke the glass with his mouse.
Oh, the mouse. Yeah, with the mouse.
He got mad at something.
The producer glass?
He got mad at something.
It was like the producer glass, but it was to the side.
It was on the door to get
in. It would be like this window here was looking out to the hallways, what it would be like.
Yeah, it was on the door.
I remember that.
Yeah, that place.
Yep.
And then, you know, he's always getting mad at things. I think he's angrier than we are.
Without question. But you know that Mapes is that's his.
Although you can get a little heated.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yes.
I think we all can.
I'm usually pretty good at keeping my composure.
I think that's the point. We all can, not just us.
Let me give it to you for once.
Heated. You don't think I keep my composure?
Sometimes, yeah, but there are times when you
of the three of us, it's you, me, Paul, who has the highest, the biggest temper.
Paul won.
I think Paul's one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with
that. I think you'd be two. Yep. And I think there's a heavy gap to third.
I would say a lesser gap, but yes. Joel two,
you just
Jeremy
call yourself
three.
A heavy gap?
No, I said the heavy. I said there was a heavy gap between you and I.
Right there.
Let's get to all the positive things that happened in yesterday's game. There were some good. The Texans covered. There's some good. 713-780-ESPN. What were some of the good things that happened in the game yesterday, Blakers?
Well, I mean, look, I continue to be pleased with Autry's performance on the defensive line. I think that he's disruptive. He's doing a lot of things that understand why they went out and got him. And I like the fact that with them, you know, kind of rotating guys in and out of the defensive line, being down a couple guys, Settle got hurt during the game. But I thought Autry, wherever he was and filling in to help out with Anderson out, I thought he was the difference maker, and he made a lot of good plays.
See, that's why I can't quit the Texans, because their defensive line's pretty nasty.
And there was a play where Autry absolutely whipped Penei Sewell.
It was the one that led to the interception?
Yeah, by Henry Toa. He absolutely destroyed Penei Sewell.
Yeah, I had Autry on mine, too. Like, he was getting to the quarterback. He was the direct reason that there was an interception by Henry Toa. He is nasty. And if they can get to full strength with him and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson, you know, what you have in the middle
is
Settle
and
Foley. Mario Edwards is not doing his party drugs anymore, we hope. At least he's going to serve his suspension for his party drugs, or maybe his ADHD drugs. I don't know. Their defense still has a chance, and they have been really good. They have a chance to be really, really good. And if you can make a quarterback's life hell, then you have a really good chance of winning football games. So, like, I'm bullish on their defensive line.
They activated Hughes, but, Barnett was active. You know, there was a lot of guys that do a lot.
You really don't want to count on those guys, though. Like, if you're counting a whole lot on Jerry Hughes and Derek Barnett, I don't think you're very good.
No, but as rotational guys, if they can just fill in for plays here or there on top of the guys that you have that literally can hand off between tag team and keep the pressure going at all times, they've got guys that are impactful on the edge. And the defensive line stopping the run's been better than I thought it was going to be with the guys they brought in this year.
8755. Nothing about the game was good. At the end of the day, they lost. Not going to lie. The loss spoiled everything for me. Yes, I'm negative right now. That's why the Killer Bees are here for you, 8755. Think of us as your therapist.
The positive
and the
bees.
Power of positivity. The power positivity bees. Look, the first half that they played, they were up 16 against the Detroit Lions, the best team in the NFC. They were up 16 against the best team in the NFC and left some meat on the bone. So that's why I still think the potential of this team is high. Do I think they're going to get to that potential? But I still think that they have a high potential.
I'll throw out, although obviously the negative side would be, well, he's still not good in man coverage. But the play Jalen Petrie made on the 2-point conversion try, where he's kind of out wide, diagnoses the run right away, dives in, and it got low and stopped the 2-point try. He's awesome against the run.
That's been on before though. He guesses run.
But on that one, we're positive this segment. He got that one right.
It's a catch 22 with me with Petrie, because he Petrie's really good at football, except for coverage.
Yep.
So it's like, how was the play, President Lincoln? Like, or Mrs. Lincoln? President Lincoln died.
Not good for him.
Like, the play could be really, really stinking good. But if you're bad in coverage as a nickel corner.
He and Murray. Like, Murray on the one where LaPorta just turned him. And then he knew it was coming to LaPorta, and he had no closing speed at all and got beat. I was like, oh, Eric Murray, you can hit sometimes, but what are you doing?
Positive, Joel. Positive.
Petrie is fun to watch, especially because, like, he'll have games where his coverage doesn't stand out as much, because there's probably only like one or two plays where his coverage stood out yesterday.
Yeah.
And he has games where he's flying over the field. He's sacking didn't have a sack, but he's hitting the quarterback. He's tipping a pass that leads to an interception. He's stuffing the run. Like, there are games where he's like, man, he looks good. And then he'll get burned by Devontae Adams, and you're like, man, I don't know if I can play that guy.
Then he runs into his own teammate on a crosser to Josh Downs.
Yeah. So, like, he goes from looking like the honey badger, and then you ask him to cover, and it looks like me. It's a catch 22. What else? What other positives you got?
I've got a couple, but look, and unfortunately, to some degree, NBC kind of exploits it too much. But John Metchie looked like, I was thinking Hutchinson was going to be a guy that could really kind of step up with Diggs out. John Metchie, for the first time, showed me signs that he could actually be a contributor to this offense when you get Nico back, because he looked like he was doing some really positive things. He had a good big gainer. He had his first regular season touchdown. I thought Metchie, for the first time, really kind of stood out to me as a guy that could play a little bit.
Who told you he was standing out on film last week? Who told you he was getting open last week?
Oh, Stressing.
Yeah. I told you he was getting open last week. That game film pays off. The game film pays off. You know, I know some ball a little bit. Saw Metchie get open, and then it showed up yesterday.
And they took
that
my
was cool to see.
And they took my notes on my guy.
Who's that?
El Shaair. That was the best signing of the offseason. That dude quarterback in that defense, the way. And he was all over the place. The one where he closed on Gibbs trying to get to the outside in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I just love watching that dude play football. Because he's
than
physical
Mixon?
And he's all over. Huh?
Better than Mixon?
No. So but I think that was a trade.
Yeah, I guess technically you're
That's
right.
That's right.
Technically you're right. But yeah, Metchie was good. And not just the touchdown either. The 3rd and 16 that Brian mentioned earlier on the opening drive, he had that little pass in the middle of the zone defense that I think was on a 3rd down. He had a big catch on a 3rd down slant. That was like the Texans were having struggles moving the ball. 3rd down, here comes the blitz, fire it to Metchie, makes the catch.
That catch he made on a touchdown,
really
that was not an easy catch. He had two defenders right there.
I don't remember who the safety was that were there. It might have been their stud.
Branch?
Brian Branch?
Yeah, he didn't deliver a hit.
There was contact, but he didn't lay him out.
There was a safety.
I don't think
he touched him at all.
The guy
covering him touched him.
Right.
The Branch came over from like the weak to the help side, didn't even touch him.
I wonder if he thought he was early.
He could have killed him.
I wonder if he thought he was early.
He could have killed him. But yeah, Metchie was really good. Defense for the most part of the game I thought was really good, even without their best player, and I do think their best player is Will Anderson. Although you get pressure like you got yesterday, and you still have Autry, and you still have Danielle Hunter, your most valuable player on defense might be Derek Stingley.
Should have had an interception yesterday. I mean, they got 5, but he had one. I mean, it was
also
a difficult play. He was kind of Willie-mazing it, but he should have had an interception yesterday.
Also, though, you immediately forced the punt. They didn't gain a first down.
It didn't matter, right.
And that was the Steven Sims big punts. You actually got way better field position
right.
that Derek Stingley didn't intercept it. So it didn't cost you, but yes, you should have got it. What other positives you have, Brian?
I'll throw out I like it when they use Joe Mixon, especially on a night like last night where they're not running the ball traditionally very well, only picking up like 1 yard per carry. But when they use him on a sweep like he did on the touchdown right after – I guess it was the first touchdown in the game. Yeah, because the second touchdown was to Metchie. But they brought him on a sweep like they would a wide receiver. And then once he gets out and has the space, he is just running over defenders once he's able to build up some speed and momentum.
Yeah, just didn't get it going enough. But yeah, that's it's a good sign.
It was between Joseph and Brian Branch. And it looked like Brian Branch was almost a little past the
let up.
Metchie, and he tried to just slap it with one arm.
He didn't hit him.
Yeah, he didn't hit him at all.
He didn't hit him at all, and he could have. Maybe he was there early where he, like,
yeah,
I can't deliver.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Because if he hits him early.
I think if the play was past him. I think Metchie
really?
Was here, and he was here.
I thought he could have crushed him.
Couldn't, I don't think he could have gotten him to the angle that he wanted.
Any other positives for you guys?
Yeah, I think the offensive line in the first half – definitely.
I want to see their pressure rate. I still haven't seen that.
I did notice quite a
I thought it looked better eye test. Yeah. I agree with you.
I did notice quite a few times they picked up stunts. They picked up where the Lions walked up linebackers to the, you know, right up in the A-gap in the first half. So, like D'Amico said, I think the communication aspect of it at least has gotten a little bit better.
He likes Jared Patterson more than Juice as a communicator now, on that line.
Problem is, can they run block as well? It doesn't look like it.
Yeah, I need more than one game sample. Kamari Lassiter I thought was very good. Yes, he had the 2 interceptions, but I just thought he was really good in coverage. It stinks that he's probably going to miss the Cowboy game, though, because Jimmy Ward ear-holed him.
I look at the replay, it was just the helmet-to-helmet with those two guys, and it didn't seem like it was that impactful.
What are you talking about?
Oh, he crushed him.
It was a flying missile right to his head, right to his temple.
I mean, I know the helmets went together.
Play,
I didn't think it was – and then I actually was worried that he hit his head on the turf.
What do you
on
think
the
is
down.
A physical hit? Like Dale Earnhardt hitting the barrier at Daytona?
I didn't think that was very hard either.
How was the rest of the races, Ms. Earnhardt?
Sheesh. He got crushed.
Yeah, he got crushed. Well, rewatch the play, Joel. He got crushed.
Last one that I have, Tommy Townsend, I thought was fantastic. Best game as a Texan, trash talking Tommy Townsend. I thought he was really good.
I'll throw out, I mean, I think he might have only played the one play, but the only time I noticed him, Devin White really showed speed getting into the backfield and making a play.
He also missed a tackle.
But when that missile is directed in the right direction, he's got a tremendous speed.
5010, one of the positives that whenever CJ gazed in the camera, I felt like he was looking just at me, and that made me feel special. Mechie finally getting a touchdown, a huge positive. They're still much better than any AFC South team, says Oso. Positive, Mechie getting his first touchdown, Josh from Seabrook. Another positive is that Mixon didn't punch a cheerleader whenever he was getting upset on the sideline. I saw some people on Twitter talking about how he's an angry man. I'm like, this is what gave it away? this is the information you needed to know this?
He's got priors, guys.
Yeah, 4661, got to give Mechie some love. Billy Bob Hick wants to know, why did Brian say good for him about Lincoln dying?
Did I?
I think you said good for him after the play thing.
No.
All right.
Obviously, wasn't intentional.
Right, slow-mo. Okay, maybe in real speed it was a bigger hit.
It was a massive blow. Crushed him, Joel. Yeah. All right, let's get to our car wreck of the day. 713-780-3776. What are you nominating for car wreck of the day? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Give me your f***ing bone, you prick. Where's my f***ing money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
What are you nominating for your car wreck of the day? 713-780-ESPN. What is your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. What do you have, Blankers?
I'll start with Jack Del Rio. Jack Del Rio, who's already been through quite a bit in his NFL coaching career.
Oh, good call.
He was consulting for the Wisconsin Badgers, and late night, one car accident, knocked down a street sign, a fence, and ended up in someone's yard, and has resigned.
Literal car wreck.
Yep.
Don't drink and drive. Yeah. Get an Uber, get a Lyft. Especially if you're rich. You have no excuse.
Yeah, you're getting... We talked about consultants getting double paychecks. He's still getting paid. He's a consultant getting paid on top of that. In a cushy gig. And he got liquored up and decided to drive
around
mouth. Madison.
Yeah. Like Vanderjack?
Yeah.
Got an idiot kicker, got liquored up and ran his mouth. So I'm throwing touchdown passes to Jerry Rice. I always get a little bit thankful for this, though. Like, whenever this stuff happens and all you hear is that he ran over a street sign, it's like he's so much worse.
I guess he came close to someone's house. Like, he went through their fence and got into their
yard. Oh, he Billy Joel'd
and was in their yard but didn't get to the house.
Yeah, it could be so much worse.
But he didn't take it to the house.
No. Ocho, car wreck of the day was literally a car wreck when a police car crashed into a ditch in the Greens Point area. Dang, that's crazy.
Not the worst thing that happened in Greens Point.
No.
No.
No. Car wrecks of the day from Josh from Seabrook. Bobby putting the slow and Slowick. Oh, look at Josh showing off a little comedy. Titus Howard, wherever that play was. Goff and Stroud in the third quarter. Good old-fashioned pickoff. I want to nominate the state of Florida. I don't know if you guys saw this, but the state of Florida did not have a great sports week. In fact, they had one of the worst sports weeks of all time. This tweet from Tim Reynolds. This has never happened ever. Florida's FBS, FCS, NFL teams are a combined 0-11 on the same weekend. FAU lost, Florida lost, Miami lost, Florida State lost, USF lost, UCF lost. FCS, Florida A&M lost, Bethune lost, Stetson lost, NFL, Jags and Bucks lost. Tonight, we're looking for history. The Miami Dolphins playing Monday Night Football. We're looking for the dream weekend where every football team in the state of Florida at the college or the NFL level loses. We're looking for a clean sweep in the Sunshine State.
Isn't it normally when we have news of the weird turned into stupid people doing dumb stuff that normally comes out of the state of Florida?
This is like a win for Florida.
Yeah.
This is a win.
Keep it away from that.
What are you nominating, Brian?
Well, first I'll nominate Joel because I was right. DJ said three games. Man. I had the audio, but we don't have time for it.
I didn't hear the audio. There's no proof of that.
I'll play it for you when the show's off. We don't have time for it now. But the other nominees would be, to shout out to Joe George, the Bears scoring 3 points at home against the Patriots. And then the Cowboys.
They pulled the tonsil. Ugh. No one helped him up.
Oh,
when,
really?
They knocked down
Caleb
Williams.
Oh, they don't like Caleb, huh?
And the whole offensive line. Someone from the other team picked him up.
Yeah, that was bad.
That's a bad look.
They're not. That's not a good organization. They're awful right now. Todd, the show, Texan second half, Cougs defense in the paint. Delete your account. You're not welcome here. Alex says car wreck of the day, the Texans, and Texter saying the Texans offense. All right, what's winning?
Texans. Period.
Texans.
I want to go second half Texans.
That's fine.
First half Texans look good.
That's fair.
All right, okay. Second half Texans, you win something. Does it for us. He's Brian. He was Brian. Doing hard work. He is Blank. I am Brian. And we'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Aggie basketball taking on Lamar. Pregame beginning at 6:30 right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.